You have to know what's wise and unwise. It's not right or wrong, but it's unwise to tell your wife, for example, that her diet's not working. You don't want to say that. You don't want to joke with the people at the security place in the airport. That's unwise. You start to learn wise from unwise. In every conversation, there's going to be worthless things and there's going to be precious things. You must choose. And when you begin to choose, then you start to become a spokesman.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Did you know that as Christians, we have been entrusted with the greatest message on earth? It's a message of hope for mankind, the message of God's love. And God is looking for those who can communicate that message to the world. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, God's Spokesman.
You see, it's in your daily devotions that you start to hear what he's saying. Let's read what it says in the book of Matthew here. Go. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. It's simply saying this, if I'm not hearing anything in the darkness, what in the world am I going to speak when I'm in the light? And if I'm not hearing anything whispered into my ear, what in the world am I going to proclaim on the housetops? You see, when you start to read his words and take in his words, and as Jeremiah says, I ate your words or digest it, then you'll realize that his words are always building, always affirming, always strengthening, always giving life. And I want to talk a little bit about our words, the words of a spokesperson. If they're like Jesus's words, it'll always be motivated by love. It'll always be motivated with wisdom. It'll always give life. And when we begin speaking that way, would you write in the next bullet, it'll define us as disciples. It'll define us. Oh, no. No, 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 not your church affiliation, not your position in the church, not how many nice Christian phrases we have. No, whether or not our words are giving life to our children, to our spouse, to those around us. Do they give life? Does it refresh or does it make someone weary? Let's read the scripture, Isaiah 50. Go. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I might know how to sustain the weary one with a word. We all get weary. We all get weary. And sometimes we want to drop out. I remember when I was about 35 years old, some things were going on in my personal life. And I wasn't doing well. I was struggling. I was going too much, zero margins, and I was getting tired. And then right in the midst of that, and the enemy knows that fly. Because when I was really physically worn out and weary, all of a sudden things started going wrong in the church and people began to get upset about this. Some would leave the church. Some of my key leaders would just leave and huff. And then someone would say something to me and I'd get these letters. And I don't know if it was a straw that broke the camel's back, but I read one of these and I said, that's it. I'm finished. I don't need to do this. I can get a job and do very well. I don't need this anymore in ministry. I'm done. And so I was in my heart, and I didn't tell anybody, but you know how your heart just says, that's it. I'm done. The very next day, one of the ladies from the church came and said, you know, Wayne, I don't know if this is appropriate, but I just wanted to share this with you. And I thought, oh, here's someone else. I said, what do you want? What do you want? You know, what are you going to be upset about? So I said, okay, what is it? Just almost bracing myself. She said, I think the scripture is for you. It's Jeremiah 17, 16. And here it is. It says, but as for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd after thee. And she said, I think that's for you. And boy, it was like a word from God. But as for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd after thee. And nobody knew that except me. When she said that, you know what? It turned the tide of my life. And I probably am still in ministry today because of a spokesperson that was near the heart of God, was in the Word, and then shared something that gave life. And it took my weariness and changed it into life. You see, the world is needing spokespersons. Because there's going to be a husband or a wife that's ready to give up, and they don't need another nice cliche. They need a spokesperson. When our children are considering an alternative lifestyle, they don't need another church person say, well, just pray more, brother, just pray more. No, they need a spokesperson. When a loved one is diagnosed with cancer, they need a spokesperson. When a coworker is in trouble and at a dead end, they need a spokesperson. And God is asking us, as he did to Jeremiah, and he said, if you will learn to extract the precious from the worthless, ye will be my spokespersons. And oh, he's looking the world over for those. And we want to be those that would say yes. We say, okay, all right. Where do we start? Would you write in number two? Here's a nice way to start. I mean, this is the easiest thing. Here it is, number two. Choose to be constructive with your words. Just, that's a great beginning. Choose to be constructive with your words. Because how many of us know we can be destructive as well as constructive? Isn't that right? Yeah, every single one of us know that. But let's take a look at what Proverbs 18 says. Read it with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Would you circle death and life, and then underline are in the power of the tongue? So you got to choose. You got to choose, because there's death, life in the power of the tongue. You choose. Just this last year, there's a huge forest fire in the mainland, and it was found to have been started by one match. Arson. And it was there that I'm reminded in James, it says, our tongue is like a fire. It sets forests ablaze, just like one match. And it can be destructive or it can be constructive. I remember when Anna and I were remodeling our home, and we had in Hilo, and a construction guy came and said, we got to remove this wall right here. And so we'll do that tomorrow. And they came with sledgehammers. And I heard boom, boom in our kitchen. And I walked in, and these guys were laughing. Yeah, they're just knocking our windows out. And I was like, what are you doing? And, you know, I thought words can be like that. You know, I mean, it was just kind of fun for them to just bust this wall down. They were twisted. They were warped. But you know, words can be like that. They're like sledgehammers. No planning, no thinking. Just swing away. And all of a sudden, you look around and there's just the rubble of broken relationships. And when we swing away with words, we can tear people down. In fact, words are, I think, one of the single most powerful tools that God has given to us. It was illustrated in Genesis in a place called Babel. Do you remember the Tower of? These people wanted to build a city all the way up to God. But they were pretty prideful and arrogant. So God decided to stop the project, to stop the whole thing. So you know how God stopped the progress? You know how he stopped the project? Not by taking away their hammers or their saws. He stopped the whole thing by taking away their words. Taking away their ability to communicate. And it stopped everything. You know why? Because God knew that words are some of the most powerful tools given to man. And that's why we start by choosing to use words that are constructive rather than destructive. And that's why Ephesians 4:29 says this. Let's read it together. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Would you circle building others up? But you got to choose that. Oh, I know. We've heard phrases like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But they can. That's a wrong saying. I've seen words break a child's heart. I've seen words break a husband's dream. Words that would destroy a wife's love. On the other hand, well-placed words can build. It can build encouragement with just a few words. Like bring healing when someone would say, I'm sorry. Genuinely, they would say, please forgive me. I've seen words bring hope and security when a father says to his young adolescent daughter, "Honey, I sure love you, and you're so beautiful." I've seen words change an atmosphere when a leader steps in and says, and an employee messes something up, and a leader or an employer says, "It's okay. You remind me of myself when I first started in this job." Whew. You see, words can be constructive or destructive, and a spokesperson learns to choose. All of us have been built up by someone, maybe a grandparent, a parent, a mom, a dad, a coach, youth pastor, minister, maybe even a teacher, as was the case of Mrs. Leonard. Miss Leonard has a story told in this phenomenal book here that can't remember who wrote it, but it's called The Whisper Test. And it's told by the young girl who experienced words of love. Listen to this. "I grew up knowing that I was different. I was born with a cleft palate. And when I started school, my classmates made it very clear to me that I looked different than others. And when schoolmates would ask me, 'Hey, what happened to your lip?' I would always tell them that I fell and cut it on a piece of glass. Because you see, somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family would ever love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Miss Leonard. She was short, round, and happy. And she was a sparkling lady. Every year, we'd have to take a hearing test. And in those days, it would be like this. Miss Leonard would give the test to everyone in the class. And you would stand up against a wall, cover one ear. And she, seated at her desk, would whisper something, and then we would have to repeat it back. Sort of like she'd whisper, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" Well, it was my turn, stood against the wall with one ear covered, and I waited for the words that God must have put in Miss Leonard's mouth. Seven words that changed my life. Miss Leonard looked at me across the room and she said in a whisper, "I wish you were my little girl." I didn't know what to say. And even if I did, I wouldn't have been able to say anything. I tried repeating it, but I was crying too hard to even speak. So she repeated it again. "I wish you were my little girl." I guess by my tears, she knew that I had heard. And on that day, I passed the greatest test of all, knowing that God had chosen me and I was able to be loved. Words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who will be spokespersons for God choose words that are constructive. He say, but when, what if there's some times, though, you have to maybe say something that is not so easy to say, like a correction or something. You see something wrong. What do you do? Well, here's something that will help you in your communication so much, in your workplace, in your marriage, everywhere. Here it is. Would you write in that bullet, learn to ask questions. Learn to ask questions. Proverbs 18:13 reminds us of this important and valuable skill. I mean, it's a simple decision that we can make this week to improve our communication. Let's read what Proverbs says. Go. "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." You see, what God is saying is ask questions, because statements cause people to get defensive. Isn't that right? "Hey, I think you should. Hey, why didn't you?" All of a sudden, whew, There's defenses. But when you ask questions, do you think it could be improved if this took place? What do you think if, hey, here's an option. Do you think we could consider looking at this? And all of a sudden, a room opens up for dialogue, for learning, and hearts become more reasonable. Once a statement is made, then hearts shut down. Jesus was wonderful at asking questions, wasn't he? Who do men say that I am? What do you think? Should we pay taxes? Well, let me ask you this question. On that coin, whose inscription is there? Caesar's. Okay. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Hey, what authority do you have turning these tables over and ushering those that are money changers out of the temple? Well, let me ask you one question. And if you answer this correctly, I'll answer yours. John's ministry, was it from God or from man? He was famous at asking questions. And the same is true with us. If we'll learn to ask questions, it'll clarify rather than shut things down. Just the other day, I received an anonymous phone call and a message was left on my phone. And I wear a shirt where there's a guy in a Lauhala hat in a hammock playing an ukulele. And he's kind of sprawled out, you know, just in a real comfortable style. Well, I guess this lady saw it on television and she thought it was a scantily clad woman with her leg hanging over. And so she called and said, I just think it's pretty bad that you wear, it really offends me and some of my friends, that you're wearing this lady's leg hanging out on your shirt and on TV to boot. Click. And I thought, well, the issue's not my shirt, it's your eyesight. And I thought, and I might be ugly, but I'm not stupid. Why would I, as a pastor on television, preach God's word with a lady and her leg hanging into the camera? I don't think so. But if we ask questions, hey, I couldn't make out what that image was on your shirt. What is that anyway? Oh, that's a guy in a Lauhala hat playing an ukulele. He's in a hammock on Waikiki Beach. Oh, wow, thank you. Would have saved a lot of problem. But you see, when a statement is made, it shuts down communication. When we learn to ask genuine and appropriate questions now, it opens up dialogue. And you know what? It increases learning like crazy. Learn to ask questions. And when you do, as a spokesman, when you're near to the Lord and His words start to flow through you, and you know how to use words that construct or build rather than tear down, would you write at number three? This is what'll happen. You'll develop a life marked by wisdom. You'll develop a life that's marked by wisdom. Let's read Jeremiah 15, 19. Go. If you extract the precious from the worthless, you become my spokesman. You see, that's exactly what God is saying. Wisdom is learning to see life and situations from God's perspective. And you graduate into this. You have to learn the skills. Let's read the next scripture. Proverbs 10, go. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, but so is wisdom to a man of understanding. It's like a sport. You got to develop the skills of wisdom. You graduate into wisdom. You see, at first, all you're knowing is the difference between right and wrong. Okay, that's right. I got to do right. Oh, that's wrong. I don't do that. But you know what? After you sort of get that down, you graduate into something that will mark your life even more. And that is learning to do things and knowing the difference between that which is wise and unwise. And it's neither right or wrong. It's just wise and unwise. That's where we want to graduate into. Oh, we don't want to be constantly struggling with what's right or wrong. Well, that should become natural after a while. But then you will graduate into a new level of faith. And that is knowing the difference between right and wrong. No, knowing the difference between wise and unwise. Story is told of my friend who called me and said, I'm going through a divorce. I said, why? She said, well, Last week, I was at work, you know, and this lady, a co-worker, needed some counseling. And so I said, well, come on. And I got her into the car and we were going to go to lunch. She said, I don't want to go to lunch. Let's just park in this park. And so we parked in the park and she started pouring her heart out. And I gave her some advice. And the park was right next to this thoroughfare. And so I thought it was safe. And so she was so grateful, I guess, that I gave her such advice that really helped her. She leaned over and gave me a big kiss. And as she did, my wife drove by and saw. What do I do? I said, well, the first thing is recognize that you're stupid. And then repent like crazy. Well, I'm glad to tell you it has a happy ending because they're still married today and they're doing fine. And he's wiser today. You have to understand how to extract the precious from the worthless. In every conversation, you can say, well, I'm going to respond on this point, and then you're in trouble. Or you say, no, I'm going to leave that. Just let it go. Don't touch that. Instead, choose words that build. God says, that's wise. That's wise. You have to know what's wise and unwise. It's not right or wrong, but it's unwise to tell your wife, for example, that her diet's not working. You don't want to say that. You don't want to joke with the people at the security place in the airport. That's unwise. You start to learn wise from unwise. Otherwise, you get into a vicious cycle. Isn't that right? You respond on something. Well, you said. Yeah, but I didn't mean. Yeah, you meant. Whoa. And this vicious cycle starts. And then it goes downward and downward and it drills. All because we didn't learn to extract the precious from the worthless. In every conversation, there's going to be worthless things and there's going to be precious things. You must choose. And when you begin to choose, then you start to become a spokesman. And you stay away from vicious cycles. I heard about a vicious cycle recently. An elderly man was jogging slowly around a football track that goes around a football field. And the football players, high school football players, were on the inside practicing. And this elderly man thought, and he saw the football players doing wind sprints back and forth, back and forth. And this old man thought, you know, if those kids can do wind sprints, as long as they're doing wind sprints, I'm just going to keep jogging. When they stop, I'll stop. And so he kept jogging, they kept wind sprinting, he kept jogging, they kept sprinting. Finally, this older man said, man, this is just too much. He said, I just gotta quit, and he stopped. And then they stopped. And one of the football players ran over and said, sir, thank you for stopping. And the elderly man said, why? He said, because our coach said, as long as that old man is running, we're doing wind sprints. Vicious cycle. But if we'll learn to extract the precious from the worthless, you'll be a spokesperson. How many of you would say, I'd like to try that? I'd like to try that, yeah. Well, God's going to give us opportunities this week. Some of you might be here and you'd say, you know, well, where do I begin? Because this is like my first or second time to church. Well, the next scripture tells us something. It says that Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know what? It begins not with our words. Matthew 12 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why it's so important to open your heart to Jesus Christ, to receive him as Lord and Savior. Because freedom begins not on the outside, on the inside. Healing begins on the inside. Wisdom begins on the inside. And that's why we need to open our hearts to Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And when he fills our hearts out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh yeah, there's skills. We have to choose. But it begins with his presence. If he's not there, we don't have anything to pull from but ourselves. And if you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart, man, do it today. It'll be the most eternal decision that you'll ever make. Because all of us need forgiveness and freedom, and the truth will set us free. And if the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed. Let him fill your heart.
You have just heard part two of a message entitled God's Spokesman by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.